Okay, today's shiur is sponsored for the Refuah Shleima of Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaya Mushkit. Okay, Shavu Refuah Shleima, Pesach Shachar Yisachar. So last week we were discussing the halachos of bosses, and we discussed a number of, I apologize, last week you had a question about the candlesticks, and I said we would get to it, and we never ended up getting to it. So B'li Neder, we're going to get to it today. Okay. So we were discussing last week the halachos of bosses. Again, just a quick review of the idea of basis. What it is that you have a muksa item, something that for sure is muksa, and it is on top of another item that is a chair here, if you want notes. On top of another item, and that bottom item is a non-muksa item. So we said that under certain conditions, the muksa item on top gives the same status of muksa to the item underneath. A simple case, you have a camera on top of a table, a camera in a drawer, in a pocket. We were discussing different cases. We said a number of conditions of what turns the bottom item into a basis, what makes it that the bottom item is not a basis. We discussed a number of conditions. One thing that we were discussing last week, I listened to my shiur again, and I apologize, I did say it incorrectly the first time with the drawers. And so just to repeat that again about the pockets and the drawers, you asked a very good question last week. I had the answer in my notes, just I didn't answer to you at the time, I apologize. So let's just get the pockets and the drawers clear once again, and one or two other things, and then we need to discuss the candlesticks, and then we need to move on. Again, we said about pockets. So the most important rule, the most important exception to making something a basis was, we said last week, is if the item was forgotten there. If you just put something there on Friday and you didn't have in mind that it's going to be there for the whole Shabbos, you just forgot it over there, so then that does not make the item underneath into a basis. So a lot of times, by pockets, it's not going to be a basis anyways. The coat, the outfit, the pants, the suit, it's not going to be a basis, because many times, if it's something that it's my Shabbos coat, something that I'm going to wear on Shabbos, chances are I forgot it there. So if I forgot it there, anyways, it does not turn the coat into a basis. Now, just pause for a second. We said, again, we'll say it again, it's very important as far as basis. Even if the item underneath, even if the coat, even if the drawer, even if the table is not a basis, but you still can't just go ahead and move it, because you're moving the muksa item. And even if the bottom item remains not muksa, but you can't just go ahead and move it because you're moving the muksa item. The only time you're allowed to move the muksa item is situations where tiltum and atzad is permitted. You're moving the bottom item, that's not muksa. You're moving the top item along with that, that is the classic case of tiltum min atzad. And tiltum min atzad, like we were discussing before we pressed record, the case of tiltum min atzad is only permitted for Shabbos use and for the use of the non-muksa item. So again, let's say I forgot something muksa in my coat pocket and then I want to wear the coat on Shabbos, so then the coat is not muksa, but the pocket is muksa. If it was forgotten there, then anything, the whole coat is not muksa. I'm allowed to wear my coat, that's tiltum min atzad, because I need my coat on Shabbos. If I want to wear my coat on Shabbos, I'm allowed to wear my coat, because it does not become a basis, and it's tiltum min atzad for the purpose of the non-muksa item. One thing which I didn't mention last week, because it's so obvious, but just I'll say it anyway, that which we were talking about last week, that you could wear the coat with something in the pocket outside, or you could use the stroller if there's something on the side, is obviously if there's an Erev and you use the Erev. I apologize, I didn't say that last week. There are plenty of people listening, you know, afterwards. Obviously, this is only if you have an Erev in the neighborhood and that you use the Erev is up and the Erev is kosher, you're carrying something. We can't forget those halachas. But if there's an Erev and you use the Erev, so then once it does not become muksa, you're allowed to go ahead and use it. In a case where you put something in your pocket on purpose, on Friday, we said most cases if it's done on Friday, on purpose for the whole Shabbos, and then you realize, oh, it's raining, now I do need my raincoat, or I do need a certain outfit, I didn't realize I'm going to need it, but I put it there on purpose, so then the item becomes a basis. But we said it depends on what type of pocket we are referring to. Here is where we have a split, meaning if it was there on purpose, it turns it into a basis. It depends what type of pocket. If the type of pocket it is, that the pocket is on the garment itself, like a lot of shirt pockets, by men have shirt pockets, that it's just sewed on top of the shirt, so then that turns the shirt or whatever outfit it is into a basis, because it's on the beged itself, it's on the shirt pack, it's on the garment itself, then that turns it into a basis, and if it was there on purpose and you put it there, then the outfit is a basis. If it's a pocket that's like, it's a slit into the outfit, so then that does not make the whole coat into a basis. It makes the pocket into a basis. Again, we're talking about where you left it there on purpose, and then you realize you need it. It turns the pocket into a basis, and you can't put your hands in the pockets because you're for sure going to touch the pocket and touch the muksa item. But the coat itself, if it's a slit pocket inside, that does not turn the whole coat into a basis, because that is considered a separate item. Besides that, it's a separate item. The whole idea of basis is that the bottom item is serving the top item. Okay, meaning you have a table that's like serving the candlesticks, so the bottom item becomes a basis. Over here, if it's a slit pocket by a pocket in a coat, the coat is not serving the pocket, it's just the opposite. The pocket is serving the coat. Therefore, even if the pocket becomes a basis, if it's a slit pocket, the coat is not going to turn into a basis if it's a slit pocket, because the coat is not serving the pocket, and now the coat also becomes a basis. It's just the opposite. The pocket is serving the coat. So therefore, in such a situation, if it's a slit pocket, even if it was put there on purpose, the coat does not become a basis, and you're allowed to use the coat, tzotzo min hatzad, and if there's an eruv. Another thing, even we said, it's important, even in cases of a tzotzo min hatzad, the first option is to try to shake it out, to try to do nir, to shake it out. So even if you have a coat that does not become a basis, if you realize at home, and there's a dollar bill inside, you realize at home, there's really no reason why you can't shake out the pocket and get the dollar outside, you know, have it fall onto the floor, then you need to deal with that. What happens with the dollar once it's on the floor? But you could shake it somewhere where it's not going to be in harm's way and nothing's going to happen. And then if once you do near, then for sure you could wear it. If you can't do near, let's say it's a $100 bill and you already realized in shul, or it's something that if you make it fall out it's going to break or something like that, then near is not an option. Then you could do tzotzo min hatzad. That's by pockets. By drawers, just to say it again, clear, by drawers we said there's two types of drawers. There's drawers that come out totally, and there's drawers that cannot be taken out. If you would unscrew, eventually you'd be able to get it out the same way it was put in, but they can't come out regularly. If it's a drawer that can come out totally, like a lot of armoires have drawers that could come out totally, so we said that that's considered an object in and of itself. Since it's an object in and of itself, then it becomes a basis to what's inside of it, if it was put there on purpose, etc. And then, since it's an item by itself, then the armoire, the chest, the desk, also becomes a basis. That was the correct way, that if it could come out totally, then it's an item by itself, and then it makes the desk into a basis as well. If it's a drawer that cannot come out totally, then it's considered a tafel, it's just like a side part to the desk, to the armoire, and then that does not make the entire desk into a basis. The drawer is a basis, if it was put there on purpose on Friday, but the rest of the drawer, the rest of the desk does not become a basis. Candlesticks. So we've been kept on avoiding details of the candlesticks, but what comes out basically is the following. A lot of people light the light on the table, and a lot of times they want to, after the meal is over, then they want to move the lichter. Tomorrow they're going to be having guests and they need more space on the table, so they want to move the lichter off to the side somewhere. So what's the halacha with such a situation? So what a lot of people do is the following. We discussed last week that if something is a basis to something that's muksa and not muksa, so we said, what is it? Does the bottom item become muksa, or does it become a basis or not? So we said, what it depends on, whichever one is more expensive, then that's what it's considered a basis to. Or even if one item is more expensive, but if the other item is a Shabbos need, a legitimate Shabbos need, then it does not become a basis. That's why with the penny and the tulips, which I should have answered right away, but I realized afterwards the answer is obvious, that it does not become a basis. If you put, those of you who were in here, Mrs. Samet wanted to know, if you put a penny in the tulips, by my Tuesday night shear, there was tulips on the table, so I put a penny in the tulips and they were drooping over, and I put a penny in the, and I have to find out tonight. I'll go back tonight. I'll see if they're standing straight up. It's mamash b'tcheis amazing, because they were totally flipped over. But, over there, you have a vase to a basis to flowers, which are not muksa, they were cut before Shabbos. and a penny. So the flowers are definitely more chashuv than the penny. So that vase is not muksa. It's a basis to two things, a muksa item and non-muksa, and a non-muksa item. It's definitely not a basis because it's considered more, the flowers are definitely more expensive, it's more important, and therefore the vase would not be muksa in such a case. It's tolta min atzad. You're only allowed to move it if you really need to, and you can't shake it out, obviously, all the water will spill on the floor. And so you're allowed to do tolta min atzad in such a case. But by the challah tray and the table, a lot of people do such an idea. They have the tray of the candlesticks on the table, and let's say they want to be able to move the table. Let's start with the table first. So you have the lights, which are make the leichter a basis. The leichter makes a tray a basis, and the tray makes the table a basis. But I want to move my table. So what people do is, before Shabbos, they put a challah on the table. This way, the table is a basis to the leichter, to the candlesticks, and to the challah. And since the challah is a legitimate Shabbos need, even though the candlesticks are much more expensive, but the challah is a legitimate Shabbos need, Rabbi Yashiv says, even if you have other challah to use, but if you're going to be using this challah, that's a legitimate challah, that's a legitimate Shabbos need, and therefore the table is not considered a basis, because we say that it's a basis to the challah, and the challah is not muksa, of course, so therefore you're allowed to move the table. That's in regards to the table. Just one important halacha, that let's say you have the leichter on the table and you meant to put a challah on the table to make it no longer a basis, so you meant to put a sitter that's over there that you need for Shabbos, but then you forget to put the challah over there, and it comes Friday night or like after the Suda, or you set the table by the Suda, but it was there the entire Bein HaShemashos. We said that's what it depends on. If during Bein HaShemashos, the whole period of Bein HaShemashos, something is muksa, then that makes it muksa the entire Shabbos. We're going to discuss that shortly more in depth. But if you didn't have the challah there during Bein HaShemashos and you realize only afterwards, so what would be the halach over there? Does the table become a basis to the tray or not, to the leichter or not? So the Paiskim say that it is a basis, even though you forgot to put the challah, and we've said already that if you forget, then it doesn't become a basis. Over here is different, because the leichter you put on purpose. You forgot to put the non-muksa item to counteract that. So over there, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yashiv, they say, too bad. The leichter you put there on purpose, that makes the table into a basis. The fact that you forgot the challah doesn't change anything. What we discussed last week was, if you forget to remove the actual muksa item, that makes it not a basis. That's as far as the table. What about the tray? The tray is much more complicated, because we said a halacha last week that if something is its set place, then something is a basis even if it was forgotten there. I mean, if we had money in a pocketbook, or money in a purse, or money in a pushka, or silver foil, uncut silver foil in its box, if it's a set makom, if it's a set place, then even if it was forgotten there, even though you didn't have specific intent to keep it there the entire Shabbos, that still makes the bottom item into a basis, because that's for sure, you know, servicing the item on top, that's its set place. So the question is, the Prima Gadam has a doubt, he has a suffix, is the tray for the leichter considered a set place to have for the candlesticks itself? He's not sure. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says that the challah on the tray does remove it from a basis, and Reb Moshe says it does not remove it from a basis, meaning if it's its set place, we don't go with the regular rules of forgetting things or having basis le aser or le mutter. Therefore, the tray is much more problematic to move the tray itself. Obviously, meaning even if you would have a challah on the tray, meaning not just on the table, even if you put another challah on the tray together with the leichter, even if it's big leichter, usually there's enough place to put like a sitter or a bencher or a challah, for sure a small challah, does that help to get rid of the muksa status of the tray? Let's say I just want to move the tray, that is a suffix, that's a machlokas in the paiskim. Definitely the best would be to not put your leichter in a place where you need to move them. There are paiskim that say you should not light on the table or not light somewhere where you need to move the leichter, because it's going to run into many problems of muksa, of moving something that's a basis. Yeah, now your question.
Okay, now just back to the silver foil that you just mentioned. So let's say your silver foil is in a drawer with plastic bags.
Okay.
So the plastic bags are definitely a need on Shabbos.
Correct.
Like a Ziploc, whatever. So
right.
Wouldn't that change the status of that drawer? Because now two things.
100%.
It's a set piece.
Definitely. So the drawer is not a bosses, because even though there's cut silver foil, but there's bags and there's some other items that that is a Shabbos need. So the drawer is not a bosses. But that doesn't just mean that you could just open the drawer for no reason. It's still tiltum min hatzad, because you're moving the silver foil. That's what we keep on saying. That's very important. Even, don't get confused, even if something does not become a basis, but when you move it, you're still moving the muksa item. So therefore, that's why I think we had discussed at one point that you and I were discussing it, as far as muksa items on the door to the refrigerator or the door to the freezer. So yeah, you're not touching the muksa item, but it's definitely a Shabbos need to open up the drawer. I'm open up the refrigerator door or the freezer door. I'm getting something that's permitted, but that's tiltum min hatzad. So you're allowed to do tiltum min hatzad in certain situations. But the Apois can not say that it's better not to have muksa items on your door. After we taught those halachas, I moved the baking soda from the I have to check if my wife moved it back, but I moved the baking soda from the door of the fridge. You know, somewhere inside the fridge. How often do we use it? It's muksa. So I do tiltum min hatzad every single time I open up the refrigerator door on Shabbos. I'm doing tiltum min hatzad. And your example, which is a great example, every time you go and get a bag on Shabbos, or you get a plastic fork if it's in the same drawer, you're doing tiltum min hatzad. If it could be avoided, great. Put all the muksa items on one drawer. If it can't, you're allowed to move it. It's tiltum min hatzad for the purpose of a Shabbos need, and it's not for the purpose of the silver foil. Then yeah, it'll be allowed.
Another question? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Back to the garbage drum.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so also the same thing, like, my husband got a little more than me. He's like, when I tell you something, you don't care about my
throat. Don't worry, this is not the first time I got in trouble.
So it's not that
Rabbi
Cohen told, that Rabbi Cohen said it different than what he told me. Okay, so you said last week that if you can only do tiltum.
By the way, probably whatever I said and probably whatever he said is both found. No, is that could also be true. It's both found in certain paiskim, and there's a question of which paiskim you go with.
Can you start the garbage cans from the beginning?
Okay, you know what? Let me just accomplish a few different things. The garbage cans. I want to talk more about the garbage cans, and I don't want you to embarrass me in public and get me in trouble. So let's wait to the garbage cans if we have time at 5 to 10. Yeah, you mind me? Okay, at 5 to 10, if we have time, we'll be able to. If not, at 10 o'clock afterwards. Okay, but I do want to discuss it. Okay, that's I think as far as buses. A few other halachos of muksa that still need to be discussed. Just a couple of halachos is the following. We've mentioned more than once the concept of migu diskatsoi lebein hashmashos. Now that means that the muksa status of an item depends on the time of bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos means the time from shkia, from sunset, up until three stars come out, up until tseis hakochavim. How many minutes exactly after sunset is tseis hakochavim? There's different opinions. 50 minutes, 60 minutes. Some people are makban in 72 minutes. Definitely. That's not important for right now. But if something is muksa during that entire Bein HaShemashos period, let's assume for a second that it's the entire Bein HaShemashos period, then that remains muksa the entire Shabbos. Even if the reason no longer applies. Okay, I'll say that again slowly because that's the most important line right there. If something is muksa the entire Bein HaShemashos period, then that remains muksa the entire Shabbos, even if that reason no longer applies. Meaning, for example, that's why it's nogeya by buses. If something is on something else and it makes us a buses the entire Bein HaShemashos time, then even if somebody removes the camera from the drawer or removes the candlesticks from the table or the tray, if something was a valid buses during Bein HaShemashos, even if it's removed later, that doesn't change the status of the thing on the bottom. It still remains muksa the entire Shabbos. Sorry?
It's not muksa Bein HaShemashos. It remains not muksa.
No, that's not true. Oh. There, it's a big discussion. If something is not muksa during Bein HaShemashos, and then something happens on Shabbos that turns it yes muksa, then it's yes muksa. It could turn, something can turn muksa on Shabbos.
Not really.
Really. But what you're kind of confused with is the following, which is in a very important halacha. If something starts off Shabbos, not muksa, and then it turns muksa on Shabbos, something breaks and it turns muksa on Shabbos, then it's muksa. But if that muksa item turns back to not muksa, then it goes back to not being muksa because it had not been muksa during banish mashas. It's called ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. If something starts off not muksa and then turns into muksa and then turns back into not muksa, they talk about drying figs and dates on the roofs in the olden times. That's when they used to dry it. So it was a muksa during Shabbos, during banish mashas. It was edible. Then it turns not edible and then it turns edible again. That's what the Gemara talks about. So over there, once it turns edible again,
the garbage can.
Yeah.
If it's empty, banish meshos.
Right.
Not a drawer garbage can, a stand garbage can. It's empty, banish meshos.
That's more lenient because it started off Shabbos, right. Not muksa. That could be more lenient. Then it gets muksa items, and then someone takes out the muksa because, let's say, it's a graf shere or whatever reason, someone takes it out. Then it goes back to not being muksa.
Or even that it would allow you to kick it or like to move it.
Kicking it anyways, even if it's totally muksa, right, you're allowed to kick it if you really need to.
You're not really accomplishing anything by making sure there's no muksa banish mashos in the garbage.
You would because now it starts off. If something is muksa banish mashos, it stays muksa the entire Shabbos, and you can't move it with your hands.
If it's not, it doesn't help me.
Can we talk about it afterwards? You mind? Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry. I'm not following you, and I want to move on. I'm sorry. Again, if something is muksa during banish mashos, it remains muksa the entire Shabbos. A good example is, let's say you have an expensive camera. So it's muksa ma'ach maschasar and kiss. It's also klisha ma'ach talisar. If you have expensive stationery, so that's muksa. So something is muksa during banish mashos. Then what happens, your kid takes your camera, and he smashes the camera on the floor, and now it's no longer a camera, and that's it. It's going to be a toy for my kids. I'm going to have to buy a new camera. So it's not a camera anymore. It's a toy. That's it. It's a toy for my kids. It's still muksa the entire Shabbos. Something that is muksa the entire banish mashos, that remains muksa the entire Shabbos. You have expensive stationery. So that's muksa machmas chasar and kiss. That's muksa. And then the stationery gets ruined. So that's it. I'm no longer going to use this as expensive stationery anymore. It's still muksa. If something is muksa the entire Shabbos, then it remains muksa. If something muksa the entire banish mashos, it remains muksa the entire Shabbos. One exception to this is this is only if it happened because of human intervention, meaning something broke or something happened to something that was muksa. But if something is going to happen automatically, then once it becomes not muksa, then it could become not muksa. Example, I'll explain example in point. Case in point. I have a banana that's not ripe. A banana that's not ripe is muksa. Right? It's not edible, so it's muksa. So let's say it's not ripe the entire banish mashos. So you would think that perhaps it's muksa the entire banish mashos that should remain muksa the entire Shabbos. It's not true. If it turns ripe Shabbos morning, then, and now it's edible, then the banana is not muksa. Because since it happened automatically, it was destined to happen by itself, then we say that we don't have the rule of migu diskatzai, and then you're allowed to go ahead and eat the banana. Another case, wet clothes is muksa. Wet clothes is muksa. Many say that it's flat out muksa. Some say it's really not muksa. It's just that you can't touch it because you're going to squeeze it out. I want to learn the halachos of malabim at one point. But let's assume for a second wet clothes is muksa. So now, once it's wet clothes during muksa on Shabbos, it's muksa the entire Shabbos. However, if you hang it out to dry before Shabbos, we'll discuss the halachos of hanging clothing to dry. We have to, when we discuss the malacha malabin, Bez Hashem, we'll be able to discuss those halachos. But you're allowed to hang out clothing before Shabbos, not on Shabbos, but before Shabbos, you're allowed to hang out clothing. So if you hang it out, you're not allowed to use a dryer on Shabbos. You shouldn't use a dryer before Shabbos because it's going to be noisy. It's optional, so that even to continue onto Shabbos, you shouldn't use a dryer. But to hang it out, let's say you're in the mountains, you're in the bungalow colony where you hang out things. So you hang it out before Shabbos if it's a sunny day, and you know that it's not going to be raining, and it's a place where the sun is going to hit, and you know that it's going to get dry by the time Shabbos morning comes, then Shabbos morning you're allowed to wear that item of clothing because that's not muksa, because since it was destined to become dry, then that is also considered not human intervention, that's going to happen by itself, then it's not muksa.
It was wet over
banish mashos. It was wet entire banish mashos, but then Shabbos morning, by the time Shabbos morning comes along, it's dry. That's not muksa, because even though it was wet the entire banish mashos, so it was dry, so it was muksa, but since it could happen by itself, you don't need human intervention, then it's not muksa.
I can't get over what you're saying about the banana. It was muksa because it wasn't ripe?
If it's not ripe, so it's not edible. It's muksa. Like we said, like we discussed, all raw rice, raw beans, raw meat, frozen.
Let's say the banana is like borderline the one. I want to look to see if I can give it to my baby yet. Like it's like green, half greenish, half yellow. I mean,
so
like,
then by that time it's probably edible. Maybe you wouldn't want to eat it, but
so
it is
like
edible.
Green, where it's like no
right, where it's not edible. Something that's not edible unless it's cooked. So we discussed that by Yontif. Something that on Shabbos you can't cook or bake. So if something is raw, it's muksa on Shabbos. On Yontif it's not muksa because you're able to cook and you're able to bake. So that makes it not muksa. But on Shabbos that you can't cook or bake, so anything that's raw, stuff in the freezer, you have to be careful. Like we were discussing by grabbing stuff in the freezer, muksa machas gufa. There are things in the freezer that are muksa. So let's say I want to reach something that's not muksa. So you have to push it with your elbow. It's tilta begufa. That's allowed.
Like,
then
you
have to be careful.
Soda that was muksa. I mean, I didn't think any spices. I mean,
spices you could use on Shabbos.
Really
you could put spices on food.
Right.
What's baking soda? So if something's frozen, if it's cooked already, let's say a challah is already baked, it just happens to be frozen. So then all you have to do is let it defrost, then it's not muksa. But raw is only ways if it's cooked. Raw fish, sushi, you know, that's a discussion. Perhaps the halacha has changed nowadays, and raw fish is not muksa, perhaps. But something that only needs something to be done to it, cooked or baked, and that can't be done, so then that is muksa. Once we're talking about the freezer, let's discuss nolak, things about...
Can I just put the clothes back on? It's not considered like maris ayin to take it off.
So the maris ayin is only if you hang it up on Shabbos. But it's not considered maris ayin if you hang it up before Shabbos.
If it was hung up before Shabbos, there's no problem the next day to try just taking it.
Correct. The Chazunish was makbid. The Chazunish was makbid to take off. The Chazunish was makbid to take off his clothing from the line before Shabbos. But that was lifnei mishur hadin. Maker hadin. The Mishnah Berurah says if it's hanging up there from before Shabbos, it's not the hanging there that's usur. It's the act of hanging it up. So if you hang it up before Shabbos, maker hadin, it's not a problem. Also, the Kaf Chaim says that let's say you didn't realize that halacha and you hung it up on Shabbos, so it's usur to do. So you shouldn't have done it, but you did it. So you're allowed to keep it there because once it's there ready, the hanging there is not a problem. It's the hanging it up. When we discuss the halachas of malabin, we'll have to get into that more. Bez Hashem. Let's discuss nola. The last case of muksa that we need to discuss, and then we'll branch off into making ice on Shabbos, is the following. Nola. The last case of muksa is something that was created on Shabbos. Something that was came into creation on Shabbos. So the halacha is, or yontif, the halacha is the following. It could get complicated. There's two types of nolad. I'm going to keep it simple, and we're going to speak about one type of nolad that is forbidden on Shabbos. If something came into completion, something was created on Shabbos, then we say that was out of my mind. The translation of the word muksa means set aside. So something that wasn't around yet in the time of the Bein HaShemashos, so of course that was out of sight, out of mind, it wasn't here. So then that's considered muksa if it was created on Shabbos. A chicken laid an egg on Shabbos. So then we say that that's muksa because that wasn't here whatsoever. Sap came from a tree. That's muksa on Shabbos because it was created. It came to fruition on Shabbos. So something that nogeya for nolad is the following. Snow. Snow is a tremendous machlokas. There's two types of snow. There's snow that fell on Shabbos and the snow that fell before Shabbos. So let's talk about snow that fell before Shabbos. So nolad is not an issue. It fell before Shabbos. But there are those that say that snow is not muksa if it's edible for animals. Okay? Snow that fell before Shabbos. I don't feel bad that I'm talking about snow in the spring because even if I would have spoken about it in the winter, there was no snow anyway. So, snow that fell before Shabbos, some paiskim say, plenty of paiskim say, that if it's still edible for animals, then it's not considered muksa. However, if Moshe Feinstein says that snow that fell before Shabbos is muksa. It is muksa. Why is this? Because we don't give snow to animals nowadays. Even if we have animals around in the neighborhood, we don't give snow to animals. So therefore, Moshe Feinstein says that snow is muksa, machmas gufo. So if someone, your kids want to play with the snow, besides making snowmen and snowballs, could be other issues of bona, but just as far as muksa, they just want to pat it and throw it up in their hands, whatever. They want to eat it. Okay. So then maybe Rav Moshe, you know, doesn't apply if they want to eat it. But the Paiskim say you should try to be machmer like Rav Moshe Feinstein that it's considered muksa machas gufa because we usually do not give snow to the animals. However, if the kids really want to play with it, there's definitely what to rely on, that snow that fell before Shabbos is not considered muksa. Snow that fell on Shabbos is a discussion whether that's nolad or not, meaning even if you say that snow is not muksa, but what about if it fell on Shabbos? So on that, Moshe Feinstein says, anyways, even if you hold it's not muksa, but if it fell on Shabbos, then it's nolad. It wasn't here, and it fell on Shabbos, so then that's considered nolad. Others say that no, that's not considered nolad. It was up in the sky already from before, and therefore that's not considered nolad. So there's plenty of paiskim to each side by snow. Definitely, by, I think I've said before, by these types of situations, we have a major machlokas amongst the paiskim. If your kids want to do it, you really, it's hard to stop them. If your child has reached the age of chinuch, or they ask you to come play with them, you know, the best is to avoid it.
So rain would be the same.
Rain, took the words right out of my mouth. Most paiskim say that rain is not considered nailat. Because rain, they say, that was in the clouds already from before. For sure, rain that fell before Shabbos, you know, you could give it to a dog to look up. But even rain that fell on Shabbos, the paiskim say that that's not considered nolad, and therefore, because it was in the clouds already from before, it was the, I don't know these things, but it was in the precipitation, whatever you call it. I'm not even going to try and guess what these things are called. And it was already in the world before Shabbos, and therefore it's not considered nolad. Therefore, if rain falls on your coat, so you don't have to be worried, I'm doing tiltum and atzad, you know, what it's the rain is not considered muksa.
So snow you have to worry about if it's on your coat, you're walking outside and it's snow.
You know, snow, you know, that's already an extra, you know, you're not carrying it in a normal manner. It's for sure you're not touching it straight. It's only tiltum and atzad. I don't think every time, you know, something, snow falls on your coat, you have to quickly go brush it off. Definitely you have the place to rely on. Quite possibly you'd have to think about it. It could be even Rav Moshe would agree. You're allowed to carry it like that. Walking on snow is for sure not a problem. That the Shulchan Aruch says straight out. The Shulchan Aruch of the Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to walk on snow. That's not, I don't think that's considered, you know, regular total. So the rain example could be anyways, you know, it's not an issue as far as that. That's as far as nolad. Again, we kept the halachas of nolad simple for that. Once we're on the topic of nolad, let's just take the opportunity to discuss the halachas of molid. Nolad means something was created. Molid means creating something on Shabbos. So now, the halacha is that you're not allowed to create something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a solid into a liquid or a liquid into a solid. Many paiskim say that that's because of the problem of nolad. By a solid into a liquid is another issue, perhaps of dosh, but let's just keep it simple that it's the issues of molid if you're making a solid into a liquid and a liquid into a solid. So somehow, some way, number of times it's come up already, whipped cream coming from a pressurized can. So many paiskim say that's not allowed because it's a liquid inside the bottle, and when you spritz it out, now it turns into more of a solid mass. So many paiskim say that should not be done on Shabbos. I think we discussed it in the issues of Memareach in that situation. But as far as molid, anyways, that should not be allowed. You're not allowed to spray deodorant onto a garment. Right? You want to make something smell nice, so you could do it onto the body, but you're not allowed to spray it straight onto a garment because, like, your molid recha, your perfume, right, onto a garment, on a body, you're allowed to, but you're not allowed to do it onto a garment. That's another issue of molid, that you're creating something in the garment, a nice smell. What's the most important is ice. There's two cases of ice. Let's discuss ice first, making ice into water. So there's three situations of making frozen ice into water. Situation number one is if I go over to ice and I crush it. I take either with my hands if I'm very strong or with a utensil and I crush the ice. And through that, I make it into a liquid. So that is usher to do on Shabbos. And if you do it, it's usher to use to drink that water. It's usher even b'di'evet. It's usher to drink that water if you take ice and you crush it. So it's usher to do that. And it's usher to drink that water. That is situation number one. To go ahead and to mamish do it via dine with your hands or with utensil to crush it. Situation number two is where I take the ice and I put it next to a radiator. I put it next to a fire. I put it next to a heater, a hot plate, something like that. That I don't crush it with my hands, but I put it next to something very warm. And then that is like a little bit more indirect. So the halacha is that you're still not allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's still considered too direct of doing. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. However, once it's done already, then b'di'evet, you are allowed to use that water. That's situation number two. It's a little bit more lenient. You're not allowed to go do it, but if it's done, then b'di'evet, you're allowed to use it. Situation number three is where I just simply take something frozen out of the freezer and I let it defrost at room temperature. I just put it on the counter and defrost by room temperature. That is permitted to do on Shabbos. That is the most lenient, just letting it defrost at room temperature. So now, hold on 1 second. I'll take your question 1 second. So now, what's the situations of ice? I have a cup of soda. I have a cup of apple juice, of juice, whatever it is. So to put the ice straight into the water, so the place can say that that's permitted. The reason why that's permitted is, even though perhaps it's more in, it's a situation number two, because I'm not crushing it, but I'm doing something to help it get, it's not a room temperature, I'm putting it in liquid, which makes it melt more, in a more quicker. Since the ice dissolves right away into the liquid, so it's not recognizable, so we say that's much more lenient, so I can't crush it, I can't crush the ice in my cup of soda, in my cup of water. But if I just place it in the cup of water and place it in the cup of soda, that is allowed because it's not recognizable and I'm not actually doing it b'yadayim. Also, to bring a bowl, the Pesukim say to bring a bowl of ice to the table, so that's also permitted. That's room temperature. I'm not doing anything to it to make it melt quicker. And that happens by itself. That's all part of the heter, that it just simply happens by itself. And I don't even really care about it, especially in a bowl. I don't even want it to melt. I'd rather it stay frozen so then everyone could take the ice. So that's also permitted to just bring a bowl of ice to the table. Did I cover your question?
No. I want to know if this is only about ice or about all food. Like if I take frozen bagels...
Frozen bagels for sure is okay because it's a solid to a solid.
Let's say it has a little...
Frost on it.
Yeah, that's gonna melt. Like I put it on top of the water, or
put it on top of a water.
Liquid in chicken, that like meaning there's it's not a liquidy chicken. That's, it's really a solid.
That's special. Yeah. It's different.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that like your goal has nothing to do with changing the form of the.
If you're in. Your intention is not for the purpose to get the cream as a liquid or the.
I remember saying about chicken.
I put it up my crock pot on Shabbos morning. It's icy sometimes.
Yeah. And the ice is going to turn into that. Yeah, if there's ice on it.
Bottom line is it gets wet. Like I feel it when I pick it up off the crock pot.
That I don't know if it has mamashes. If there's ice on the bagel, if there's ice on the challah that was in the freezer, that I would imagine should be avoided to do. I have to check it up again. I mean, I don't. Think that anyone talks about that case specifically, but from my hashara, I would imagine that if there's ice particles on it, that should not be done. Even though, really, like you said, you don't really.
Maybe it's like totally tuffle to the challah, tuffle to the bagel. Comes out of it,
I remember liquid that comes out of it. I don't know if that's a problem. That's just saying, like oozing out.
I'm saying, but like that, he was saying that like your intention is not to.
Who was saying?
I just remember what I was like saying. Saying like, that what? There was no. That was not your intent. Your intent was not to change the form.
That would be the reason to be more mutter. Could be then also by the icing on the challah or icing on the bagel. Could be.
Also, one more question that I have. I thought that if I'm putting away, let's say like I made soup for Shabbos and there's so much extra soup that I decided we're not going to wait a week, I'm going to put the extra soup in the freezer. So I'm putting it away anyhow. Like just like if you're putting something away.
Oh, that's a different heter. That if you have to put something away, so where do I need to put it? So perhaps with those that say that, so then I need to put it somewhere. Oh, so let me just put it in the freezer. But if it's ready on the counter, and you know, or it's ready somewhere, let's say in the fridge, and you realize you want to switch it from the fridge to the freezer, that place can say you shouldn't do it. But that you're specifically going ahead and you're making something from a solid into a liquid, from a liquid into a solid.
But I can put the soup directly into a container with the freezer theoretically. Not really.
There's anyways issues of hachana, but I have to think about it. Hold on 1 second. I have to think about such a case. Let me just say one last case. Hold on 1 second. As far as making ice, which is very important, as far as making ice, it's a big machlokas. There are those that say that you're not allowed to make ice on Shabbos. There are plenty of pesukim that say you're allowed to make ice on Shabbos. You're making a liquid into a solid. There are plenty of pesukim that say, which is communicated to the soup, that specifically by ice you're allowed to, because even if it turns from a liquid into a solid, but eventually it's going to turn back to a liquid again, so therefore it's not a problem. Two very important halachas, which is important to know. As far as making ice in a cube, which most cases are, Rabbi Yashiv says that's not allowed because of bonet. Now, the other paiskim that say you're allowed to make ice on Shabbos, I assume that they figured, right, I assume they knew that you're going to be making ice in cubes. So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Mitzina and the Betzalel Chochma, the other paiskim that say you're allowed to make ice on Shabbos, I would assume they don't agree with this Rabbi Yashiv because they know that you're making ice in a cube. So That could be, anyways, many paiskim say that that's not an issue, but that's just a fact that Rabbi Yashua says you're not allowed to because of bone. A second issue, which I think is the most important, is that if you're making ice, and this is also going to get to your chicken soup question, is if you're making ice, you're not allowed to make ice for after Shabbos. Meaning, let's say, what's the standard case? Someone empties out all the ice, brings it to the table, now I have an empty ice tray. I have a great idea. Let me just fill it up. I have to put it, where am I going to put it? I'm going to put it back in the freezer, right? So let me just fill it up with water before I put it back in the freezer. That is hachana. You're not going to be using this ice on Shabbos, especially if it's Shabbos afternoon. So you know you're not using this ice for on Shabbos. So if you're going to be using it for after Shabbos only, anyways, that's issues of hachana, which touches upon your chicken soup question, which is what we were trying to work out. That if it's something that you're doing hachana for Shabbos, if it, the chicken soup is in a pot, and you specifically go ahead and you pour it into a Ziploc bag, in order so this way I could put it in the freezer, that's hachana for after Shabbos. You're putting it in the freezer. You're not using this chicken soup for after Shabbos. So then that will be...
You know, it's just like, where else am I going to put it? Okay,
so wait till after Shabbos. It's probably not going to get spoiled till after Shabbos, especially...
Friday night?
I don't know. Maybe? I don't know. Could be. You know, you have to keep in mind cases of hachana. Okay, I think that covers it for mix-up. Hold on 1 second. Next week, Bez Hashem, we're going to do Borer? Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll be able to do Borer. And I'll definitely take all your questions.